Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we want to talk about something John and I teach a little bit differently than anywhere else you're going to find online when it comes to dropshipping. There are people out there telling you they can help you high ticket dropship, and that you should sell fucking everything. You should sell pellet grills next to baby carriages, next to saunas, next to God knows what. And there are others out there who tell you it's the hottest products of 2024. Download my top 10 list and it's going to be terrible fucking. They're already out there, by the way, John. I researched them earlier before this episode. The top 10 lists are out there and they're fucking terrible. Don't listen to any of that stuff. More importantly, John and I want you to focus on who you're selling to. And that's going to change. And I kind of want to give you some examples of how you're actually going to be selling to like different types of people when you're selling a certain product and give you a couple examples of how that's worked out for me. But John, you want to add any color to this? Like why the who is so much more important than the what?
Yeah, I think it probably sounds like a fairly subtle difference to people, right? If you're new to high ticket dropshipping or you're in the early stages and we say, well, you want to focus on the who, not the product, like it might feel like that's a small kind of shift when you think through it in your mind, but it has far-reaching consequences. And it's more as it's not so much what happens in the very beginning as much as how that is going to influence everything you do in your business for the rest of the time that you run that business. So for me, and particularly when the advice is like, just start a general store selling everything. I mean, that's just shit advice, full stop. But what that shows, what both of these approaches show, is that the people who are putting them out there just generally don't have the experience to be talking about it, right? Because you're not going to be, if you start like just a general store selling everything, you can do okay with that with paid traffic, right? But you're not going to do okay with that when it comes to doing things like search engine optimization and like really building a solid business, because that's going to be really, really difficult. And your chances of nailing it are very slim. And the people who are telling you to do that haven't actually done any of that stuff before. That's what that shows. Like they haven't got past just running some ads, which any Bobo can do. That's not the real cream in running one of these businesses, right? There's a lot more down the track past that. And when you're just a sell everything store, you're never going to get much past running some Google ads. And then sooner or later, somebody's going to come in and chop your legs off. And you're going to go from maybe millions in sales to very few sales. And we've seen that happen to people so many times. It's not funny. But even the difference between, I think the difference sounds kind of finer between people who say, well, just go and find a product to sell, and we say, go and find a customer to sell to. That I think the nuance is more there, I think, where it might seem a bit more obvious. Once again, focusing on the customer, like businesses exist to solve a person's problem. That's essentially what we're doing, right? Yeah, you'll say, oh, yeah, we're selling products. That's what we're doing. We're selling products. I should go out and find a winning product. Blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what you're doing when you run an e-commerce business. What you're doing is solving somebody's problem by providing them an outcome. That's what the product does. A product provides an outcome for somebody that they desire, which solves a problem that they experience. And that's what you're actually doing. So in order to be, and the business that solves the most problems for the most people is the one that's going to win, right? So to fully understand how to solve somebody's problems and provide the outcomes that they desire in the best way possible, you need to understand the person that you serve, right? You need to understand, and people will call this your ideal customer, your target audience, your target customer, your customer avatar. Like there's interchangeable names for this idea of the customer. But if you start with the idea of who is it that my business is going to serve, and you get an understanding of who that person is, then everything flows from that. The products that you should sell flow from that. It's usually not just going to be one single product type. There's going to be a range of product types, which in turn then means your marketing is easier. You have more options to increase your average order value, to increase your rate of repeat purchases from the same customer. All these good things which are required to build a long-term sustainable and highly profitable business flow from understanding your customer, not understanding what's the next winning product or building some big broad store. It all comes from understanding your customer. And that's why we always start. This is where we start when we're thinking about these businesses, is who is the customer that we're going to serve with this business? We ask that question at Dropship Breakthrough before we say, what products are we going to sell?
So I kind of want to attack it from a second angle too, of like, all right, maybe you did start with products and you're listening to this and you, God forbid, you took some other course and you love what John and I have to say. And so you come join us. And so I want to give a couple examples of how we break this apart in the business and why it's important. So like understanding who you're selling to allows you to speak to that person. So the guy out there selling everything to everyone has to use very generic language and likely probably just the same shit that they got from their supplier. They're not even being unique about it. Whereas if you know who you're talking to, they have very different problems depending on the person. And you're going to want to speak directly to each one of those avatars, or more likely, hopefully you start narrowing down on, I only want to serve these types of avatars because one's probably going to be more profitable than the other. You are still going to sell to some of the others, but I think you should focus a little bit. So I want to give you a couple examples. So the first one I'll give you is actually an old business that I was a part of, and we were selling golf simulators. And so if you can really think about who's buying golf simulators, your first thought is golfers. And that's not wrong, but there are many different types of people who are golfers, and you're going to talk very differently to the different types of person that is a golfer. And so I'll give you some examples. So one of the first avatars we discovered was someone, by the way, I love alliteration. So you're going to find a lot of alliteration here, which is using the same first letter, I believe is how you described that. So the first avatar that we discovered was Man Cave Mike. I'm sure you can already get an idea of who Man Cave Mike is in your head, right? He has his basement getaway. He's probably got beer signs on the wall, might have a kegerator down there, probably a foosball table or a pool table or ping pong. Or he's got his little man cave, right? And likely a giant sectional with a enormous TV where he can watch the game with his bros or he can go hang out, right? And he wants to have a golf simulator down there to be part of his man cave. He has a very different want to this golf simulator than some of these other avatars. So I'm going to move on to the next one so we can contrast this, right? Number two that we discovered was Old Man Eddie. And Old Man Eddie wanted one of these golf simulators, not for his man cave, not for his buddies to come hang out. He wanted one to stay active. And so he could go in the mornings, the 6 o'clock Tuesday crew, and play 36 holes of golf and, you know, drink a couple beers at noon. But then he got home and he still wanted to stay active. He wanted a way to keep moving. And so he had a golf simulator in his house, a way to get away from his wife, we heard a few times, to go hit some balls and just really stay active. Okay, so contrast that to Man Cave Mike. You're going to say very different things to those two people. Now let's throw in a few more. One was Fatherly Fred, who... he wanted to spend more time with his kids, but rather than look at Pokemon cards, and I can relate to this one, he wanted to play golf. And so he got a golf simulator. And so the way we would speak to him is very different. Again, he wants to spend time with his kids, spend more time with your family, help your kids get into the game. That type of language is very different than be the envy of your buddies. You know, watch the game while hitting balls. There's a very different angle you would take to Man Cave Mike to Fatherly Fred. Now there was more than this, right? There was, what turned out to be our favorite avatar, Precision Pete. Precision Pete, all he wanted was one more stroke on his game. And he would pay any amount of money if you could give him one more stroke off his game. Well, a golf simulator, of course, is going to do that. But I'm not telling him, get this to hang out with your buddies. I'm saying, dial in your irons so you know exactly how far you're going to hit them so you can save one more stroke on your game. Or, you know, like we would send a box with, or we'd worked on this where you would get a tag where you could really dial in. Here's how far I hit my sandwich. Here's how far I hit my pitching wedge. And you could get this on your bag tag so that no matter where you are, when you've gunned that down, you know the exact club you should be using, let alone you're going to hit more balls, which is going to improve you. You're going to see the spin. You're going to learn a lot from a golf simulator. Precision Pete doesn't care what it costs. And they would also buy very different versions of the product we had, right? Man Cave Mike would likely buy the cheaper version, where Precision Pete, he's buying the top of the line on his cell phone at 10 o'clock at night, laying in his bed while he's thinking about golf. You know, he's not thinking about anything else. And so if you think through those different avatars, we're using very different language on our product pages, on our landing pages, in our ads, in our remarketing. We're cycling through that remarketing to show a picture of a dad and his kid. Oh, that didn't get clicked. 2 days later, we'll show a picture of an old man playing, maybe his wife in the background barking or something like that, right? And the next one, we'll show a nice man cave. And the next one, we might show somebody's hitting in the simulator and a scorecard going down, right? You know, like negative one or birdie next to it or something like that, right? Very different language for these different avatars. So if we just advertise to golfers, what might we do? Probably going to hit Precision Pete, maybe talk about scores, talk about metrics, talk about features, probably not benefits, right? And Man Cave Mike has different benefits. The golf simulator gives him a different benefit than it does Old Man Eddie, than it does Fatherly Fred, than it does Precision Pete, than it does CEO Sam, I believe is our other one.
Hey, remember Holly? Yeah, episode 212. From zero to $500,000 in 5 months. Holly is one of our best students, and you can hop on a call with her right now at dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. If you're listening to this, I know you're thinking about starting your own high-ticket dropshipping business, and what better person to speak to than Holly, who is a shining example of what can be done starting your own business. So hop on a call with Holly, see if joining Dropship Breakthrough is right for you. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/call.
And so think through who you're actually talking to here, and you're going to use this to actually serve your customer. And again, if you're trying to sell everything, how are you talking to anyone? How are you possibly providing the benefit other than the features your supplier sent over? And if you're not rewriting that stuff, you're already behind the really low bar it takes to serve a human or a group of humans and actually really increase your sales by speaking directly to them. Did that make sense, John?
Yeah, it does. And when you think about it, like, just think about it as well. Like, where you start to see the power of this stuff is if you put yourself in the shoes of Precision Pete, let's say one of Ben's examples, right? Let's say Precision Pete goes to a website that sells golf simulators, which is just an everything site, right? It's a broad store there. They've got golf simulators on there, but they've also got like baby, you know, prams, and they've got something for dogs, and they've got like something for the kitchen on there, right? And it's all very generic language because the person running that website does not have time to write very specific language for all different people for 2,000 different products, right? That are all unrelated to each other. So it's going to be a very generic kind of feel to that site. And then he goes onto a site which is built, you know, more specifically and narrowly around, you know, golf simulators and maybe some related products to golf simulators. And he sees language in the marketing on that site, or, you know, he gets on their email list and gets emails, or he sees retargeting ads or whatever it is. And he's seeing specific language that talks about the exact things that he is interested in, like adding that extra stroke to his game. And that pervades the whole experience of that site. Where do you think he's going to buy from? Like, seriously, ask yourself this question. You probably have an interest, right, that you pursue in life. So just put your, like, replace the golfing example with your interest and just think about, if I went to a site and, or I had touch points with a site and they were just like clicked with me because they felt like they understood me because of the language they were using and what they were saying to me and what they were highlighting about the products to me, would you be more likely to buy from that site than just any old store that sells all sorts of things and doesn't appear to be really interested in what you're trying to achieve? Like, you would buy from that site. I know for myself, if I'm going to go and buy a surfboard, I'm going to buy it from a website that appears to understand something about surfing rather than just a department store type place that sells a couple of surfboards. I'm never buying a surfboard there. Never, ever, ever am I going to do that. I'm always going to be drawn like magnetically to websites that appear to get and understand surfing at a deeper level. Right, always, I'm automatically going to go there. And there might be a few of those out there for sure, but that's where I'm going to go. So that's really going through this exercise, and I think we're going to keep going here. But I think that's, you can start to see the real power and the difference between these different approaches. Even just between the, let's say I, you know, just started a, like once again, the difference between the find a product approach, like let's say I just said, oh, I found golf simulators. I think that's a good product to sell. I'm just going to put it on a site and sell it. If you didn't do the work to understand your customer, you're probably going to be a better place to buy it than that broad store, but you're still not really going to be selling it because you don't understand who you're selling it to. So yes, it's probably better than the broad store example, but it's still not as good as the customer first approach in my mind.
I agree. I got one more example for you to maybe hammer this home. So this site, wellness type site, selling things that'll help you get slightly better. And you'll see what that means here. Saunas, cold plunges, air purifiers, all things wellness. Okay, so you're selling to a lot of different people when it comes to this, and I'll give you some examples. Athlete Adam is the first avatar that we isolated. That is an athlete who is looking for recovery. They want to know how they can put more hours into training, more hours on the field, and they want to genuinely be 1% better every day. They can achieve that through sauna. They can achieve that through cold plunge. They can achieve that through breathing better air while they're at home. They're going to do whatever they can to get that slight edge, right? It's the same reason they did steroids in the 90s in baseball. Whatever you can do to get that little bit of edge, you're going to do. And so these products did that. Athlete Adam has very specific goals. I needed to talk to him a very specific way, as opposed to menopause Molly, who is going through menopause. Her hair's falling out. She's getting skin issues. She's going through a lot of issues in her life in her 50s. She wants to get in front of a red light for very different reasons than the athlete wants to get in front of the red light. Heck, there's people online who are doing it to their buttholes nowadays, John. This is wild. We didn't have Butthole Billy on here, but believe me, they exist out there. You'll see that later on in some other ones that we talk about here. Man. But
segue, go ahead. Has Butthole Sunning ever been a thing over there in the US?
Oh, dude, people that's like what
going I mean, out in their backyard and butthole up to the sky.
Yeah, it's coming. And they're doing it with red lights too, right? And same with even, I think Huberman talks about it. If you get like the red light therapy on your nuts, it produces more testosterone. Anyway, go on. So look, Athlete Adam and Menopause Molly, you have to talk to them very differently. They have very different problems. They have very different outcomes they want from the products I'm selling. Another example on this list is Conspiracy Karen. So they're... is no shortage of folks who believe some of the weirdest conspiracies in the world. Look, I like a good conspiracy.
You do.
The people who were calling in, wow, they are like way deeper than I can ever imagine. I like hearing about them, but how you get to the point where you believe some of these is wild. I've given some examples on other shows, but this person, they're buying an air purifier. Use your imagination here. Just use your imagination. So that's Conspiracy Karen. There's also B2B Bob, Entrepreneurial Eddie. We weren't really sure how to say this. They're the ones who want to start a business with these products, right? So they want to buy a sauna. They want to buy a cold plunge. They want to buy red light therapy. Mm-hmm. They definitely want air purifiers in their float tank rooms, in their massage rooms. They're trying to build a wellness facility. And again, you know, we get this question a lot. How does B2B marketing differ? They're coming in on similar search terms, but I have to speak to them very differently to help them know that I'm here to help them build out their facility, that they're buying the best they can possibly buy, that this is going to hold up to commercial use. I'm using very different language than I am for Athlete Adam, Menopause Molly. We also had ones we didn't want to serve on here. Wellness Willie is somebody who they're not going to spend top dollar on these products. They're going to buy the cheaper stuff. Maybe they live in a tiny home. I dealt with very similar feeling people when I sold tiny home products, just, for lack of a better word, cheap. They're looking for the solution, without the expense. And they are, honestly, they're not fun to deal with. So, that is one avatar. And then the other one was, CEO Sam, who again, you know, I put this in the sheet, John, for us to talk about later on, is like, treat yourself like a professional athlete, treat yourself like a racehorse, professional racehorse, because that's what you are when you're an entrepreneur. Like, you need to get good sleep. You need to get good rest. You need to take in good food. You need to drink a lot of water. You should probably consider sauna and cold plunge and other things like that to help you be at a peak state. CEO Sam is way ahead of that game. If they're a CEO of a company, they've thought about this a lot. They're putting a lot of time into themselves. They're working their faces off, and they're looking for any way to get that slight edge. Again, they're running a very big business, And so they're not worried about the price tag here. They want the fucking best, and they want it in a efficient manner. And so if you can tell them that their sauna heats up in 10 minutes versus an hour, like a lot of infrared saunas out there, they want that one. They want that one, and they want the lowest EMF possible. They want a cold plunge that is always at the right temperature and always clean. Like, they have different wants and different outcomes than Athlete Adam, Menopause Molly, B2B Bob. And so you can see how, like, understanding who you're actually selling these products to can have an advantage in your business if you talk directly to them versus, this sauna gets to 160. This sauna comes with chromotherapy lighting. This is what most people's descriptions look like versus actually taking the time to talk directly to somebody who you know is buying from you. And yes, you're going to need to mix in different phrases and different remarketing images in order to speak to these different avatars, but you're going to narrow down, hey, maybe I don't want to talk to Wellness Willie. And so I'm not going to use any of the language there of, like, cheapest unit on the market, can't go wrong with this one, you know, just like talking in a cheap fashion. I'm not going to use those words. I'm going to exclude those keywords from my marketing terms because I don't want those people coming to my site. Whereas if I can narrow in on what CEO Sam is searching, the language he needs to make the purchase without even thinking about it, I'm going to do as much as I can to target those people and help those people and solve their problems.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Like, you can identify customers, avatars within your niche or your market, and maybe you don't want to attract them. I think, like, probably not a lot of people think about that. Like, just because you identify a customer profile doesn't mean that you need to have them in your business. This can actually be a tool to help you understand who to filter out of your business based on their behavior or the types of language they use, maybe search terms they might use on Google, where we do a lot of our marketing. That can be a really useful benefit of going through these exercises as well, for sure. Yeah, I love that.
I think you can adjust your headlines, right? Like, rather than run an article of, you know, five cheapest red light therapies you can buy, you might talk about, like, five highest quality or five most penetrating, or, you know what I mean? Like, talk in terms of what CEO Sam, athlete wants. What are they looking for? What's the benefit they're looking for? They don't care about the price. They want the edge, right? And so can you shift the way you build articles, build blog posts, build emails to talk to that person and, you know, exclude the one you don't want to sell to? I don't know. This game's fun for me. Like, really thinking through this has been a lot of fun, and it took a long time for me to get to a point where I even cared, if I'm honest with you. Cause in the beginning, you're just like, I'll take any sale at all. Just come to me. Yeah. I need to make sales, right? But eventually, like, you'll start seeing, man, like, Willie was a real pain in the ass. That, like, I'm still dealing with that order 3 months from now because he wants a refund. It doesn't quite work right. And just, like, there's other orders where you don't know how they even came to your business and they bought and you've never spoken to them. It's the biggest order you had. And man, that was pleasant. What can I learn about that person so that I can start targeting them? This is really, really fun. I know we teach a lot of it in the beginning, and I think you'll learn even more as you run your business. You're just going to interact with these people, and slowly but surely you'll start identifying who you're selling to really in depth. And then hopefully you have a, you know, very big urge to go solve all their problems. Cause the more you can go really deep rather than really wide, that's where you're going to have the most fun. It's where you're going to make the most sales. It's where you're going to change the most lives.
So there's probably two questions that I would think that if somebody's listening to this, they're going to have these questions. So I don't know if you want to touch on these lightly or go into any more detail, but the two questions I'd have is, I think you just alluded to it a little bit just in the last thing you said, but, like, the first one is, like, how do I find those people? Like, how do I work out who those people are within my, you know, whatever my niche is? And then, like, you might say, well, like, using the golf example, I want to sell to people who are interested in golf in some way, right? And that's a starting point. Right. And then I might sell golf simulators, but how do I identify the different, you know, the four or five or however many it was that you mentioned were within that space? And then the second one is, like, how do you actually work that into your, like, let's say you've got a product and you could sell it to CEO Sam and two of those other profiles, maybe not all of them, but, like, two of them, like, you got three different ones that the same product could apply to. Like, how does that actually play out? Like, let's say on your product page or in your retargeting or in your emails, like, how do you kind of, can you give us a bit of an overview of just sort of how that actually happens in practicality?
Yeah, I think in my experience, which is all I can speak to, is you're definitely going to figure this out as you go. You can make some guesses in the beginning. You'll likely, you know, you do some research, hop in some Facebook groups, listen to how people talk, understand their problems. Heck, I bet ChatGPT could solve this if you gave it the right prompt as well. But you're going to learn a lot as you go, just speaking to your customers. So I think early on, a lot of people want to like outsource, right? Let me find a VA to answer the phones. Hell no. Answer your fucking phones for like a year and ask them every question you could possibly think of. Learn more about the people who are calling you and how you can serve them. And in the end, you'll be able to do what I'm about to say next, which is like implement that into your copy, right? And so if you can get lifestyle images that show the perceived benefit to each one of those avatars and sprinkle them throughout your description on your product pages, great. If you can adjust your headlines to not just say product name benefit, product name overview, and instead like actually tell a story with your headlines so think about the features of the product. This is like gets to 175 degrees. Great. That's a great sauna that gets to 175 as an infrared sauna. So that whatever you say after the word so that should be your headline, right? Because that's what people actually care about. They don't care about it getting to 175. They do, but they want to know the benefit. Right? Huberman talks about if you sit in a sauna above 170 degrees for 20 minutes a day, 4 days a week, it reduces your all-cause mortality by 50%. If your headline said gets to 175, or if I said reduce mortality rates by 50%, which one grabs your attention there? Obviously the benefit one, right? I think your opportunity to talk to these people comes best in your headlines, in your copy, and kind of varying that throughout your description. Again, you're going to narrow this down as you go. You're not going to want to talk to all of them in the first place. And then remarketing is the easiest place. The reality is most people don't buy on first touch. So you need to be in front of them one more time. And that's going to happen through remarketing. Facebook's beautiful for this. You can target very small audiences and you can cycle your creative. So for 2 days, I'll go back to the golf one. For 2 days, if I show you a picture of a man cave and I'm actually talking to Precision Pete, maybe he clicks, maybe he doesn't, but that's a fucking touch point. He saw our brand one more time. That's great. And it's going to take 20 plus touch points to convert a sale. He's probably going to see that ad 7 times for 2 days. That's 14 touch points that I didn't pay for either, by the way. I'm just getting in front of him. The next 2 days, he sees pictures of a father standing on the mat with his kid and some language around fatherly Fred. And maybe he's fatherly Fred, maybe he's not when he's Precision Pete. But again, it's just another touch point. He sees the golf simulator again. He's thinking about it again. He sees us again. And then 2 days after that, we cycle Precision Pete for 2 days. And we might even do that one first because we know that's our favorite avatar, right? And we want to reach those people fast. But if he hadn't seen it before that, he has all of those touch points. And now he sees a UGC of one of our customers who dresses just like him and uses the same language as him saying, you know, I bought a golf simulator from this golf company and my game improved by 3 strokes. Or he sees a picture of a guy receiving dollars from another guy in a golf cart. And it says something along the lines of, win the weekend bets with this golf simulator. Or it talks about or shows a scorecard with a few extra birdies circled. And it says, thanks to the company that I'm purchasing from, right? Just get in front of that person and speak directly to them. And you can do that really, really well through remarketing. Is going to drive people back to your business, as well as like the articles you're going to write, or like I said, are going to be very different depending on the person you're talking to because they want different benefits. So you might write an article about how a golf simulator is the perfect addition to your man cave, and Precision Pete's not going to click on that article, right? And you like when you remarket with that, he's not going to click on it, but he's going to get a touch point. Whereas you can say, how Brian Johnson reduced his strokes by two, or reduced his average round by 2 strokes using a golf simulator. Like Precision Pete's going to click on that one and be, oh, he reduced it by 2 strokes. Great. So you can form your content around that. You can form your remarketing around that, which by the way is your content. You can form your emails around that the same way. Again, some people are going to read some emails, some people aren't, and you're going to adjust your headlines accordingly and talk to different avatars. And so, but this is like part of the fun of business is solving this problem because your business is different than my business, is different from Sally's business, is different from Bill's business. And once you solve who you're talking to in your business, your sales are going to start exploding. I promise you that because you're going to start talking directly to them. Your conversion rate's going to go up. Your ad costs are going to go down because your conversion rates went up. Your CTR is going to go up because you're talking right to the person. Things are going to start moving in a great direction once you solve this problem.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com.
And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.